This is Tuesday, December 13th, 2016. The Mean Streets of Gadgetzan have inspired a few new Hearthstone podcasts. It's not too soon for Wintervale in the Nexus, and we'll spend some time chatting about WoW with the newest hosts of the Starting Zone. This is episode 220.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, elves and gnomes, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. My name is Ro. Thank you, as always, for downloading this week. So, first things first, last week on Twitter, I teased that I would talk about how to make crafting important again in World of Warcraft. Now, I'm not going to spend too much time on this because there are more important things to talk about, but hear me out for a minute. I've got two words for you. Craftable talent. Now, if you think about this, we kind of have this in a limited capacity with the craftable relics for our artifact weapons. The problem with those, however, is that their item level is too low right now, and the cost to craft them feels too high, especially when you can find relics dropping off of easier sources like dungeons, world quests, raiding, you name it. But what if we lived in a World of Warcraft where tailors made the only cloaks available in the expansion? And those items gave you the talent bonuses that relics have right now. And you could apply this to other crafting professions too. Make it so that boots can only be made by leather workers, or maybe belts. Have wrist items be made only by blacksmiths. Have jewelers keep on making necklaces, maybe rings also, but at least necklaces. And for trinkets, let's do trinkets for engineers, because we need to give engineers something to craft for everybody, not just goggles. Now, alchemy, enchanting, and inscription don't necessarily have to be a part of this, because they already feel somewhat important, because they bring their own things to endgame with potions, enchantments, runes, a lot of the consumable stuff that we already have. Now, that's the nutshell version of my idea. I've hardly fleshed this out, but the key point is that crafted items like these would only be valuable if you can't get similar items via other means. And that's the kicker, and probably a very controversial kicker, especially considering how easy the dev team has tried to make it to get geared up in Legion. So let me know what you think about this idea. You can email realmpodcast@gmail.com with your thoughts about that. Moving on, there's one more thing I want to bring up before we do the usual news segment here. Today marks the first day of the third annual Ice Crown Challenge. Now, this is a charity fundraiser event that's organized by Arcane Ratzel. You may know her through following her on Twitter. She's very well known in the WoW Twitter community. And also through @WarcraftCares on Twitter, she's assisted with things like the Running of the Gnomes and other events, as well as this Ice Crown Challenge. And in my opinion, she's an all-around good person, even if she does play a mage. Now, last year, the Ice Crown Challenge raised over $2,000 for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and this year the goal is to hit $3,000 or more. So, here's how it works. Between now and January 14th, you go to Ice Crown Citadel and time yourself to see how long it takes you to do a full clear from start to finish. I recently did this on my Warlock and finished in about 20 minutes. A lot of that was RP. Oh, and if you have a level 110 character, don't be afraid to solo it on Heroic 25-man mode. It's a breeze, and hey, you might just get some new companion pets, or even the Invincible mount off the Lich King. Anyhow, when the run is done, go to bit.ly/IceCrown2016, and from there, make a donation equal to the minutes you spent on the run. That link will take you directly to the Foundation's website, where you can rest assured that the donation will be legit and secure. And hey, if $20, give or take, is a little much for you this time of year, because it is the holidays after all, any amount, big or small, will be greatly appreciated. Now, if the $3,000 goal is hit by January 14th, Ratzel has told me that she will endure a Warlock-related punishment. Now, that's a cause I can get behind. I actually know a little bit more about this, and it sounds like she may be planning to do a Warlock Iron Man run character that will be streamed live, and that will be one live stream I will definitely be keeping my eyes on. But first, we have to make it happen. Seriously, I'm a big supporter of this event. Of course, the holiday season is known for being a very critical time when it comes to preventing suicide, and I encourage all of you listening to help out, even if that help is by letting your friends and other podcasters know about this so that they can get the word out about it themselves. Once again, for more info on this, go to bit.ly/IceCrown2016. Let's shift gears and take a quick look at news around Blizzard Entertainment Games, and it's beginning to look a lot like Wintervale as we go around the world of Warcraft and more in 80 seconds. The Nova announcer pack for StarCraft II was recently revealed. This announcer pack will be unlocked for anyone who has all mission packs for Nova Covert Ops and has purchased Nova as a co-op commander. Both items will be available for purchase as a dynamic bundle in the near future. Last week, Ben Brode officially became the new game director for Hearthstone, replacing Eric Dodds. Meanwhile, Heroes of the Storm game director Dustin Browder has moved on to another project at Blizzard, and his role has been filled in by Alan Dabiri. Wintervale has come to the Nexus, with each game between December 14th and January 4th awarding 25% bonus XP. Playing 25 games of Heroes of the Storm during this time will unlock the special Snowflake character portrait and permanent access to the festive Treasure Goblin mount. But that's not all that's happening in Heroes. This week marks the start of Season 3 of Ranked Play, with an Elemental Stag mount highlighting the rewards that are available. The winter season is scheduled to end on the week of March 13th. The final HGC qualifier for North America took place last weekend, and we now know the full lineup of teams for the Professional League, including Denial Esports, Astral Authority, Gale Force Esports, Noventic, No Tomorrow, Grandmaster Jackets, Dumpster Tier Superstars, and Chew 8 My Hot Doge. That's a weird name. And finally, Ragnaros the Fire Lord is now available for purchase in Heroes. Believe me, I could not hit the buy button fast enough. It is not too soon. And that's your news. It's once again time for the podcast Clip of the Week, and well, since I just talked a lot about Heroes of the Storm quite a bit for the past minute, did anyone notice that I didn't mention World of Warcraft at all in Around the World of Warcraft? Sorry, but anyhow, here's a little bit of Core. Core! The Heroes of the Storm podcast from the Frog Pants Network. If you like what you hear, you can check out the show at heroesforyou.com. My interview with the Starting Zone will start after this.
That's all I wanted to say, is that pretty normal. We still have our views, which we've said, and we've already, you know, that I think it's better for the health of the brand if we do targeted sales and free promotions and not, as someone who spent $300 year one, didn't like that the whole store was on sale because it made me feel like crap about my purchases. That's right. Where I'm coming from.
Right. Which is funny because it's kind of coming from the same. I think that's an important thing to note. What you were saying about that feeling bad as someone who spent all that money and now it's all on display for 50% off. Yeah. And these aren't durable goods that need room in a warehouse or something. These are digital goods across the board. It's not like you're getting some deal on some scratch and dent or something. Because of that, you had this. I think you experienced the exact same kind of poor feelings about that from that angle as this person who was upset about the conversation was from their angle. It's actually the same problem. It's just coming from two different directions. So just know that none of us, don't take anything I say seriously anyway. That's
we weren't saying that. I just think maybe in the confusion of an argument, sometimes things get taken a certain way.
Yeah.
And I think we can own that. We can say, just to be clear to everyone, the entitled buttholes, which I think is verbatim from what we said, is referring to people who took to Reddit or took to the Blizzard forums and wrote really crappy things. And we said that too. So it's not you guys.
Right.
You guys listening, you're great. And we wish you sales and free stuff to your heart's content.
We wish you fair weather and the wind at your back.
So this is me being a Canadian saying, sorry, guys. Sorry. We'll do better next time.
Got your own sorry.
The only thing I regret is that we should have played the music over that.
Oh, we totally should have.
But it's fine.
Hold on.
Fine.
Do you want to do an impromptu one, John, where you apologize?
The moment's gone. I mean, I can
give you a reply if you'd like a reply.
Let's get a reply. So this is a reply. Now, I want this to be known far and wide. This wasn't pre-planned, nor was this Bo's idea. So what John's about to do is totally on John and me for suggesting it. So with that being said...
My dearest Martha, today I write to you distraught. War is hard. It's hard on the men, and it's hard most of all on me, who misses you with all my heart. I need to tell you that I won't be able to send money from the front as I have so often in the past. Blizzard didn't do a sale this year. I know this means that our small children will be denied their Lunara skin and their sweet Kael'thas Cyberhawk outfit. This is, of course, a devastating blow to you and our family. One that I'm not sure I will be able to recover from. I keep you in my heart as always, but apparently the Canadians think I'm an entitled butthole.
Sincerely.
Yours.
Yeah.
In this life and the next. Rubicon 32.
I want to own the decision to do that. I think that was really funny and absolutely worth it. And you can send your complaints to Bo Schwartz.
To Rubicon.
Rubicon.
The Starting Zone is one of the oldest World of Warcraft podcasts out there, with its first episode dating back to March of 2009. Back then, Jesse Kobayashi already recognized that there were plenty of WoW podcasts out there, but that didn't stop him and Mick Montgomery from pursuing their vision of producing a show that could benefit both new and experienced players alike. While it's not uncommon for a show to change co-hosts over the course of its run, it's pretty rare for a WoW podcast to be of such significance that it ultimately continues on with entirely different hosts altogether. Those hosts for The Starting Zone are my guests this week. They are Spencer Downey and Jason Lucas. Good to have you on, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you very much for having us.
Doing great. Thanks, Ro. Glad to be here.
Thank you for being on. It's great talking to you guys. I know, Spencer, I talked with you a little bit back over at BlizzCon, so it's good talking to you again. It's generally a unique thing to have a WoW podcast that changes its cast entirely. There have been so many shows where you've had like one solid host and then a rotating co-host over the time. You know, All Things Azeroth, The Instance, so many well-known WoW podcasts have had something like that happen. This is a very different kind of scenario. Spencer, I know that Mick had to move on from The Starting Zone and really podcasting about video games because we later found out he got an awesome job with Riot. Can you tell me about the chain of events that led to Mick bringing you on as the host of The Starting Zone and also what brought Jason into the picture?
Sure. So both Jason and I had been hosts on earlier shows of The Starting Zone. We'd done WoWs. We'd done a couple of chats in between there. And so I sort of knew Jason because he was sort of related to the show. But the actual transition, what brought me and Mick together, he was doing a different podcast with me called Super Heroic, which is centered around comic books and the transition to movies and TV shows. And basically, when that show was actually doing quite well, it's on a bit of a hiatus at the moment. It'll be coming back.
That's surprising considering that whole TV crossover on the CW.
I know.
I would have thought, like, of all the times for Superheroic to do a podcast, this is the week.
Yeah, it ran into a lot of tech difficulties, which I'll get into with Starting Zone because we've had some similar things happen.
Sure.
So, with Starting Zone transition, Mick knew he about 6 months out, he started doing his application stuff to Riot. Mm-hmm. So he knew that if anything happened with that, the podcasting was going to change. His whole situation was going to change. So sure. He couldn't tell me what he was applying for or what he was going to try and do with it. He just sort of kept putting this broadly out there of, hey, I might need someone to look at something, maybe podcasting down the line. And there was a lot of that. For 6 months, there was a lot of, like, you know, how do you feel about kind of maybe doing something, maybe taking over perhaps this show. And I very much was interested in doing that, but I also had no idea what the brunt of that would be. I am in audio production. My career and field very much is in audio production and production for shows and TV. So I sort of knew that the technical back end to it, but I didn't know any of that. I didn't know about Libsyn. I didn't know about uploading stuff. I didn't know about a lot of that kind of ownership that had happened. And as you said, it's such a well established podcast. A lot of this stuff is like hard and firm. The email's firm. All the back end aspects of it were very firm and couldn't be changed. So there was a lot
it
for me to learn.
It would be pretty chaotic to like change domains and email addresses and all that stuff. You could potentially even like lose some listeners, not because they hate the change, but they could like lose track of where the show is. I totally get that.
Yeah. So there was a lot to bring me up to speed on. And when the show was wrapping up, so when Mick knew he got the job and it was going to wrap up, he sort of approached me and said, okay, this is a yes or no situation now. you are either in or you're out. I need to know whether I'm wrapping the show up and ending it or you're taking over it. When we had that conversation, it was for both Super Heroic and Starting Zone, because he, at that stage, didn't want anything else on his plate. So he was like, Dead Fans Talking, all of that was going to go away. Now he's back doing Dead Fans Talking now, which is great. And I'm hoping he's going to come back to Starting Zone at some point, which would be great. That's just a hope.
You mean
that's
Super
not,
Heroic.
Sorry. Yes. Super Heroic. Yes. I apologize. Starting Zone.
It's quite all right. But just to be clear, it's just, it's not that he doesn't want to talk about WoW podcasts. It's just that his employment doesn't allow him to talk about video games. And for the record, for quite the longest time, Blizzard has had a very similar policy for the most part, where Josh Allen, when he became a community manager, he had to leave Legendary back in the day because of that. So this is nothing new.
Yeah, and I'm really glad Blizzard has shifted a little bit of Josh's stuff to let him stream again. That's made me really happy. So they are looking at those things, and I'm hoping Riot starts looking at those things too.
I think they will in time.
I think they will in time too. So I said yes. And then was just kind of felt like I jumped off a cliff, right? And you're like, okay, this parachute's either going to open or it's not. Let's just see what's going on. I instantly was thrown a whole bunch of passwords and informations and documents as to how to run the show. that still wasn't all of it. I got access to the Starting Zone Twitter account just before BlizzCon. So at that point, we've been doing shows for a while. I was actually just talking in a recent episode that's going to come out probably tomorrow or later tonight, about the email, because Jason is in the States and I'm in Canada. Gmail hates that. So they actually locked the Gmail account at one point.
Oh, no.
So I couldn't access the email. Only Jason could. So we were negotiating things with that. So there's been a lot of little hiccups in the transition, and that's caused some of the delays that we talked about. But the one thing Mickin really pushed towards me was find a co-host, do the show with someone. And Jason's this guy who you should do the show with. He kept recommending Jason, which is great, because I knew Jason. We talked a lot offline. We both are raid leaders. At one point I was a guild leader. He's also very involved in his guild as well. So we had a lot in common. And our communication was good as far as that went. Now, Jason is a really passionate guy about WoW, and anyone who stops to talk with Jason about WoW will quickly realize he's a very passionate guy about WoW, which is great. It's exactly what you want when you're talking about podcasting, is people who are passionate about the game but not biased. So if there's something that they feel is not right with the game, they're willing to express that, and they're willing to share that, and then have a debate about it and discuss why that is. So Jason came in as a pretty easy co-host to find. And I was very privileged and happy that he was willing to join me in that. So the transition is still ongoing, obviously, because we want to start doing live shows again. That's the thing we want to do. But I need to get all those assets from Mick. So I am still in that transition phase of getting everything and organizing it all and building it all. So I would say I'm really happy with what we're able to put out right now, but that's the beginning. We're going to be doing more. And Jason,
part of that transition process has been some of the reasoning behind why the show hasn't had the most stable of release schedules. There have been gaps here and there, and it's mainly a technical thing, but I would imagine from the sound of it, it sounds like come the beginning of next year, your goal is to have a bit more stability as far as release schedule and all that goes.
Yeah. So we're looking at, we wanted to be recording shows on Tuesdays is sort of what we're looking at right now, because something that we actually just started this week, is we want to be doing a wrap up of what's happening this week in WoW on top of the news segment that we already do. So we talk about, what world quest is the weekly quest for the week. So whether this week it's BGs, for example, Battlegrounds. So we'll talk about that a bit. We're also going to be talking about what world boss is up and potentially what drops off that boss or what's interesting about that boss. We want to be sure that we're giving people the opportunity to find out what Mythic Plus affixes are out, because the affixes change weekly too. So we find Tuesday's a really good day for that. We also tend to get release stuff or new information on Monday nights or Tuesdays. So it fits well with that. So we're looking at Tuesdays. And so we'd probably try and fit a live record, a live stream in there, record the episode as well, and then get it out Tuesday night or Wednesday morning for people for a more regular release schedule.
Well, you are going to increase the chances that Blizzard makes big announcements on Wednesday or Thursday because of this. I just want to tell you right now.
Yes, of course. Which
Legendary and many other WoW podcasts have tried the whole Tuesday thing, and it seems any time a well-known WoW podcast moves to Tuesday, all of a sudden big news happens on Wednesday or Thursday.
It's
been a curse of realm maintenance for ages.
Well, thank you for the heads up.
Just know that you are helping the problem.
Excellent.
I'm mainly being tongue-in-cheek here.
For sure.
Jason, when it comes to the format of the show, I want to talk a little bit about earlier in the year, Mick had done episode 150, which was a very different show focusing on the state of WoW podcasting at the time. Of course, this was well before Legion had been out. And Mick had talked a little bit about the future of the show in terms of his vision to do like episodes that were story shows once a month, continue the tradition in the past of Why I WoW, shows that were like specifically helping hand shows. All these are like different aspects of the old show. What I was wondering you talk a little bit about, Jason, is what is the vision that you and Spencer have for the Starting Zone, and what pieces of the Starting Zone's first incarnation do you plan to take with you, and what do you plan to create that's your own?
So I think, you know, we learned a lot from Mick and from working with Mick and looking at his approach to the show. I think episode 150 that you referenced was a really great That was a great send-off for Mick, kind of. At that point, I think when he was putting that together, he kind of knew that the writing was on the wall and he was kind of on his way out. The game was also in a really bad place for the type of show that we do at the particular time that he did that show. So we had this conversation internally, like with the Spazbot guys, about what can we bring to the table? How can we bring a different approach? The weekly news wrap-up show isn't working for WoW anymore. That's not the way the game is. It's not what the community is responding to. How can we approach it differently?
Every week.
Exactly. That's not, luckily, it's not a space that we've been in for the last, you know, 6 months or so.
Sure.
But at the time, you know, it was kind of dire. We would put together the best shows that we could, but sometimes we were kind of retreading familiar ground, or we were really relying on listener feedback to give us a jumping off point for a conversation. So Mick had this sort of idea for a more magazine style, like NPR kind of, podcast episode. And, you know, it really came together. I think that was a really high point for the show and just for Mick creatively. And he kind of inspired us to think about some different things we could do. We had some sort of grandiose plans for more multimedia kind of Starting Zone projects that just sort of never gelled because everybody was so busy and things were kind of up in the air. I think Spencer and I are more comfortable with a more traditional WoW format, like for a WoW podcast. And luckily we've been getting a lot of stuff from Blizzard that helps us put a show together and make it interesting, gives us points of discussion and gives us something to talk about. But you know, that doesn't stay that way forever. I think Why I WoW is definitely the kind of thing that you're going to continue to see. That was such a great initiative that Mick started. Alt did some shows in that format, and I think we will probably be doing some more of those in the future. Those are great
Just really quick. So one of the things that he had mentioned at the end of 150 was forget about hosts. They're going to be contributors and producers. Well, that's not necessarily the case right now. I mean, you two are basically the hosts of the Starting Zone, but from what it sounds like you're saying is you do plan to have additional contributors for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think you will see some guests. I would love to have some guest interviews and stuff as we move forward, as we kind of iron out our format and our process of working together and the technical bits. I mean, the Why I WoW episodes are some of my favorite to listen to, and I'm excited to carry that tradition forward because they're not tied to a particular moment in time with the game. You know, a lapsed player could give us a great Why I WoW episode. It's just that passion and that common experience that people have with the game. And it's to me, that stuff is always interesting. And I love to have that discussion.
I would pay money to hear one of you guys interview John Bain, aka Total Biscuit, about the state of World of Warcraft now and then.
Mm. That would be a fun
that would
to do.
That would be a hell of an episode. It's on my dream list of like it. People ask me, who would you want to, like, if you had a top five list of people you want to interview, the one person I want to interview more than anyone else, even arguably more than Chris Metzen and Mike Morheim themselves, is John Bain, because he was a figurehead for his period of time for WoW podcasting, arguably right up there with Scott Johnson and a few others back in the day. Moving on to other events, outside of the stuff that's easy to talk about, like this week's Q&A with Ian Hazacosta. And it's a great thing that they're doing more frequent Q&As because it gives podcasts more to talk about. But Spencer, outside of the regular standard news stuff, what do each of you feel are the most important topics to have a discussion about when it comes to World of Warcraft right now? Do you still see the Starting Zone as a podcast that needs to cater equally to new and experienced players? Are there certain topics that really need a lot more focus on now than, say, in earlier years?
Yeah, I think it is really important to cater both to new and experienced players. And we get that feedback from our listeners as well in emails that we've received. So I really try and make a point that when we're talking about something and I mention something like necrotic or, you know, overflowing when they come to different affixes for mythics, that I'm explaining what an affix is and then what those affixes do, so that not only are people just hearing these sort of buzzwords, they're actually understanding what the meaning is behind them. We also try to break things down. Like this week we talked about what Vantis runes are and how they work and why they're good. And that is useful information for both new and experienced players, because there's experienced ones out there who still aren't taking advantage of that. And there's new ones who hear the buzzwords and don't know what they mean. So I really feel that it's still important that we are addressing those aspects of it. And so I really see the Starting Zone still as a podcast that's delivering that information. As far as news goes, I would say, what I'm trying to try to direct us towards right now, and Jason's on board with this, of course, which is great, is we are trying to stay with content that is currently released and live. There's a lot of stuff that comes out there with patch notes and, you know, Argus and what's happening in the future. And so it's one of those like, okay, well, that chat is going to happen closer to when that stuff is actually going to be live. Let's continue to talk about what's live right now in the game and how we can benefit people who are able to play the game right now, and not less speculation as to what's going to happen later. So we try to keep this podcast really informative for the live player right now.
You know, that's interesting that you bring it up, because I feel, and I am guilty of this myself, I feel that when it comes to podcasting about World of Warcraft, one of the biggest traps is to talk about beta or PTR content. Because it's easy stuff to talk about because it's the most recent stuff that we see information on. But at the same time, someone could go back and listen to archives of your podcast several months ago and hear you talking about this stuff and be like, what does this stuff even mean? Nothing like this ever happened. I would almost call it, and like I said, I'm guilty of this myself, I'd almost call it lazy podcasting to dedicate too much time to talking about PTR or beta. So what you say is what you've told me is actually pretty refreshing.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, I feel also like it. You create a drought, because then when the content comes out, you've already talked about it. So it's like
right. And
repetition.
Then people are like, well, we have nothing to talk about on our WoW podcast. Well,
yeah.
How about you talk about the stuff that just went live? Oh, we talked about it when it was on the beta.
Yeah.
Well, that's your problem. Jason, I want to move on a little bit because I can't believe how much time has already gone on in this interview. And there are a couple of things I want to talk a little more about WoW with you guys.
Sure.
This is one of the final WoW podcasts that I'm featuring on the show this year. And I wanted to talk a little bit about New Year's resolutions. Now I could almost be blamed to lazy podcasting, because honestly, the whole resolution thing is mentioned on so many WoW podcasts, but oh well, I'm a hypocrite. Blame me. I'm just wondering, as a player, for each of you, start with Jason first. Do you have any kind of New Year's resolutions when it comes to how you play World of Warcraft, especially considering that Legion has really changed, I think, how a lot of people play the game with world quests and all the stuff that's been added?
I think any kind of resolution I would have regarding WoW would probably be to play it less and do more stuff in my real life. I'm a very dedicated WoW player, and I kind of check all my boxes off on a weekly basis. I think, you know, maybe just in terms of being a raid leader, a GM, just somebody who builds community, maybe there's some stuff I can work on there, you know, in terms of
being a
I'm kind of lazy about recruiting. Maybe I need to take that stuff a little bit more seriously. I need to be a little bit more patient sometimes when people aren't as dedicated as some other people in the group. So maybe from that angle, I think there's some opportunity there. In terms of my playing habits, they're problematic on levels that don't affect WoW.
Understandable. How about you, Spencer? Do you have a WoW New Year's resolution?
Yeah, I do. And I do like doing this because it makes me think about a goal that I hadn't set for myself, because it's so easy to just log into WoW and just sort of like, I'm just going to do my world quests and do raids and stuff. And you don't really think about, you're not as aware of what you're doing when you're actually playing. And I like the idea of having a resolution. That's a good idea. So I give props to you for asking me this, because I might not have thought of it, even though it's probably something being done by a lot of people. I would say that my resolution for this would be to play more for me. I'm someone who really enjoys group content, and it's why I play WoW. When the Convert to Raid Guild was getting formed over on Airy Peak, I jumped into that incredibly early. I was one of like the first 12 people in or something. Right. And immediately went into event planning, and then I became an officer, and then I was kind of like GM for a little bit, and then I was the information guy who did all the Twitter stuff, and was just giving a lot in that situation, and I really enjoyed it, and it really meant a lot, but it was very draining, and I almost got to that
burnout.
Yeah, I almost got to that burnout point, and so I took a step back and sort of gave up some of those responsibilities. I still help moderate, you know, the guild in a lot, in some ways. But recently I've been playing with more of a family and friends kind of raid group that's outside of the CTR community. And, just actually this past weekend, I moved one character over there, and I've really enjoyed the small intimate group that I'd had back in Wrath of the Lich King when I was playing. And I haven't had that since then, because it's really just sort of been big guild since then, and CTR especially being, you know, one of the largest. So I think making choices like that and decisions like that for me, and really staying in tune with what I'm wanting to get out of my gameplay is sort of my resolution for next year, and make sure that what I'm doing is for me when I'm playing the game.
I think that's an awesome resolution to have. I think it's important to strike a balance between how much you... I mean, when we do this kind of stuff, when we create content or when we're leading a raid or doing stuff like that, a lot of that stuff can be very selfless. And if you're selfless for too long, it can start to wear on you. You can start to feel a little empty inside. Sometimes it's all right to do stuff for you. Sometimes it's all right to make changes or adjust how you do things because you need to put a little more fun into things, or you need to change things up for you. It's probably one of the reasons why I'm making the changes I am with this show, and why the rolling restart's going to be a new thing. It's just one example for me as a podcaster. My resolution has been to try things differently and to still enjoy what I do, but to not let it burn myself out. And that's why I'm making the changes I am as a podcaster. Spencer, do you have any kind of resolution as a podcaster, or just in terms for yourself or for the Starting Zone going forward?
I guess my resolution sort of for the Starting Zone going forward is to hit that early in the year, that hit the mark of regular scheduled episodes going out smoothly, the live streaming happening again. But the long-term one for next year is to try and remain sort of thing. What I want the show to be is one of the most informative World of Warcraft podcasts out there. So people who are really want information about the game, both new and experienced players are able to come to it and get something out of it, out of each episode, and hopefully have some fun listening to it too and enjoying Jason and I's discussion. So I really want to be sure I don't let that slack as much, and that I'm making sure the topics we're choosing for each episode and the people we're bringing in to do interviews with really stay relevant and are forward facing towards our audience.
I couldn't have put it any better than that if I was in your shoes. Jason, how about you? Do you have any podcast resolutions or any personal resolutions for the Starting Zone?
I would, first of all, just echo the notion of the consistency. I mean, we had a lot of stuff going on in both of our personal lives and tech issues at the beginning of the fall this year. So hopefully we're in the clear with that. But more specifically, in terms of what I bring to the show, I would say probably just to maybe broaden sort of the scope when we have a discussion. We try to, as Spencer kind of mentioned earlier, you know, just sort of put things out there for various levels of players' experience. I am in a pretty tight bubble with my experience, and I'd like to try to find ways to sort of broaden that viewpoint when I'm putting that energy into the show. You know, there is a certain way that I approach the game. I have a certain community of people that I play with, and I play it in a certain way. And I believe in my heart that there is no wrong way to play WoW, and that whatever makes you happy is what you should do with it. So the question for me, I guess, in terms of the Starting Zone is, how do I take my experience with that attitude and put it into the show?
You know, I'd say just as there is no wrong way to play WoW, there is no wrong way to podcast necessarily, and there's no wrong way to put out a quality version of a WoW podcast known as the Starting Zone. Guys, thank you very much for being on the show this week. I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys do in 2017 and beyond with the Starting Zone and with all the plans that you have for it. Spencer, can you let my listeners know, if they don't know already, just where, when, and how they can find you guys?
Sure. The easiest way to reach me is on Twitter. It's just my main form of communication, and that's at Spencer_Downey. That's Downey on Twitter. So just, you know, look me up, ask me questions, check stuff out. And then obviously the Starting Zone is at the Starting Zone podcast. So check that out too.
All right. There's a couple more questions I want to ask you guys, because I didn't get to my questions that are Starting Zone related. But folks already know about this little thing called Yearly Maintenance. So teaser, listen to episode 4 of Yearly Maintenance and you'll get those questions. Guys, I will talk to you then. Have a great one.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Rope.
Thanks again to Spencer and Jason for being on the show this week. Let's move on to podcast news. Every several weeks or so, I like to take a little time to do some digging through iTunes and other places for signs of new podcasts. And this week, I've got a few new Hearthstone shows to tell you about. Now, I haven't had time to listen much to any of these shows since I discovered them a couple of days ago, but each one has recently put out content. The first two shows are called Fireside Talks and Brewmasters. I've included links to both of these shows on the podcast directory at realm-maintenance.com. You can follow Brewmasters on Twitter at BrewmastersCast, and I think you can follow Fireside Talks on Twitter at Fireside Talks. There is another show out there which I've only been able to find on iTunes so far, and it's simply called The Hearthstone Podcast, and it has 13 episodes out already. For now, your best bet to find that show is by searching Hearthstone on iTunes, but once I have a solid link to its webpage, I'll let you know. Thorn and Thist from the Lagging Balls podcast have promised to bring listeners a number of awesome interviews over the next few weeks, but before you hear all that, check out the tables being turned when they appear on one of the most recent episodes of the Twisted Nether blogcast. You can find episode 271 of the show on your app of choice or at twistednether.net. A pair of shows are celebrating 50 episodes this week. Congrats to High Noon, an Overwatch podcast which can be found at highnoonpodcast.com, and more congrats to Heroes Forge, a Heroes of the Storm show which you can find in all the usual places and at heroesforge.club. Episode 50 of Heroes Forge takes a look at what the Prophet Velen might be like in the Nexus, so I encourage you to check it out. If you've been following WoW PvP podcasts of late, you might be wondering what's happened with the Rated Battleground. Well, Winstead has decided to put that show on hiatus, but it's still available online, and that won't be stopping him from talking about PvP. You can now hear Winstead as a co-host on Technically PvP, where he'll be teaming up with Jerisar to give you his PvP POV. Have I mentioned the letters P and V enough already? You can find this show at technicallypvp.libsyn.com, and you can follow the show on Twitter at technically_PVP. Today's podcast is brought to you by the letters P and V. Episode 91 of The Meeting Stone checks out Ian Hazzacostas' Q&A, celebrates Blizzard's stage time at the Game Awards, and so much more. You can check out episode 91 of The Meeting Stone on iTunes or at themeetingstone.com. I received an email a couple of days ago that the Your WoW Money podcast is done for the year, but listeners of the show will still want to keep an eye on that feed as Joe may have something special up his sleeve. I'll let you know when that gold-making podcast is back in 2017. Meanwhile, there's another gold-making show that's still going strong, and that's none other than the Goblin Goldcast. There's an interesting gold-making opportunity coming up with patch 7.1.5, and you can learn all about it from Dex and Mac on episode 22. Listen to your guide to making gold in the World of Warcraft at goblingoldcast.com. A new segment is being experimented with on the Overwatch show known as the Omnic Lab. The segment is called Quality Control, and in it, Rob and Andres break down two similar heroes in the same role and compare and contrast them with the state of the meta. They also talk about the strengths and weaknesses of the heroes. This time they're covering Soldier 76 and McCree. You can also hear their thoughts on Symmetra and the start of Season 3 by listening to Episode 31 on your app of choice or at omniclab.com. Sko, Roger Brown, and Chris Potter from reigning World First Mythic Raid Team Method spent some time talking about Mythicalia, the state of the game, and much more on Episode 124 of the Final Boss podcast. You can find your way to both audio and video versions of the show easily by going to finalboss.tv. Don't forget to follow at FinalBossTV on Twitter for regular updates on both the podcast and Bay's Warcraft live streams. Congratulations to the Hunting Party podcast on reaching 250 episodes. Dark Brew and Dolly Sonder held down the fort while most of the other hunters were off, hunting, I suppose. At any rate, this milestone episode is still one you shouldn't miss, especially if you enjoy PvP as a hunter in WoW. One of the top-ranked PvP hunters in the game, Dilly, talks about survival PvP on this episode. You can find it at huntingpartypodcast.com. And since we started the news segment with some Hearthstone podcast news, let's close it out the same way. Which legendary should I craft? Should I dust a certain legendary? What legendaries are people playing? Which legendary should I test? These are all important questions following the release of Mean Streets, especially for players who may not have all the arcane dust in the world. Kenny, Cinder, and Cora discuss their MSG legendary suggestions on episode 63 of Coin Concede. You can find this Hearthstone show at coinconcede.com and follow the show on Twitter at coinconcede. And finally, Hearthstone game designer Matt Place chatted about the mean streets of Gadget Zan with Fastidious and Espo on the latest episode of Legend of the Innkeeper. You can find that show on iTunes, Google Play, and all the usual places. You can also go to legendoftheinnkeeper.com to find a transcript of the interview as well. And that Sound Meter update is complete. It's time to press the play button and
by fire be purged!
Can you tell I'm a little excited to play Ragnaros and Heroes of the Storm? Don't forget you have a couple of days left to catch episode 219 of the show for your first chance to win a Mischief Companion Pet in WoW. Your second chance will be this Friday on episode 221 as we go through the second part of yearly maintenance. You can also find me on the most recent episode of Azeroth Roundtable. Go to azerothroundtable.com to check that out. I talked a lot about world quests there and a little bit about Jaina Proudmoore. If you'd like to support the show, of course, as always, you can do so by going to patreon.com/realmpodcast. The Realm Maintenance Podcast can be found on most podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. I also encourage you to check out realm-maintenance.com, where you can find not only the weekly podcast roundup, but a directory of most podcasts out there covering your favorite Blizzard franchises. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or a promo to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts for those games, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter at realmpodcast or follow myself at Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Don't forget to check the feed this Friday for part 2 of Yearly Maintenance, and next Tuesday we'll hit the mean streets of Gadget Zan with the host from Legend of the Innkeeper. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been the presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2016, and is distributed by Signals Media. You can find this show and other great podcasts at signalsmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks again to Spencer Downey and Jason Lucas from The Starting Zone for being on the show this week.
Thanks to everyone in the community for your retweets and for getting the word out about the show. And thanks to you for listening. It's the end of the show, and that means it's time for the roundup. This is an insanely quick rundown of every Blizzard podcast I'm aware of that's produced a show between December 4th and 10th of 2016. For general Blizzard podcasts, we have All Things Azeroth, Battletag, Blizzard Watch, The Blue Recluse, Battle.net News, Epic Fail, Frozen Nerds, Geeks of Azeroth, Grown Up Gaming, Hearthcast, The Instance, Lagging Balls, Torn Think Tank, and Twisted Nether Blogcast. World of Warcraft podcasts include Adventure Across Northrend, Adventures in Azeroth, The AIE Podcast, Azeroth Coast to Coast, Azeroth Roundtable, Battle Pets, Malrez Bears, Behind the Avatar, Control Out Wild, Dark Moon Herald, Final Boss for Azeroth, The Game Case Show, Girls Gone Wild, Goblin Goldcast, Hunting Party Podcast, Lion's Pride Tavern, The Lorecraft Podcast, Middlefinger Podcast, Pwncast, Raid Chat, Raiding with Leisha, Reigns of Azeroth, The Starting Zone, Stopcast, Tankcast, The Training Dummies, The Worgen's Howl, WoW Challenges, WoWhead Weekly, and Your WoW Money. Inside the Tavern for Hearthstone, we have 1600, Dusty Angry Chicken, Brewmasters, Coin Conceited, Fireside Talks, Golden Wisp, Hearth Coach, Hearthcore Hero, Powercast, The Lightforge, Legend of the Innkeeper, Top Deck Kings, Valleytown, Bones Chosen, Walk to Work, and Well Met. Shattered Soulstone is your Diablo podcast this week. Heroes of the Storm podcasts include Core, Gankbush Squad, Heroes Forge, Heroes Radio, Heroes of the Storm Power Hour, Into the Nexus, Lords of the Storm, and the Nexus Trolls. And finally, for Overwatch podcasts, we have The Cavalry, Heroes Never Die, High Noon, Omnic Lab, Overcast, The Overcast, Overplay, The Overview, Payload Podcast, and Watchpoint. For links to all these shows and archives of this podcast, go to realm-maintenance.com.
This podcast is a part of the Signals Media All-Star Network. For more information on this and other fine shows, go to signalsmedia.com. It's okay to stick our stuff in your ears. Really?